Thank you, Ruth. That was wonderful. He must really love me because I feel like I'm just on the ground. I just feel like I'm just feel like I just stay falling. If anybody's got a more cold and lifeless heart than I do, I feel sorry for you. But turn with me to Luke 24. Don, thank you for the kind words and the opportunity to come and preach again, Danville. Thank you, dear ladies in this congregation. All the food, oh my, you just do outstanding with the food and all the hard work that goes into it. The effort, come early, stay late. I know what it's like, and I really, really appreciate it. Appreciate your great labor of love in Christ. Now, I'll tell you what I want to do tonight, God helping me. Here in Luke 24, let's start reading at verse 13. Just read a few scriptures, and then you'll follow along with me, and hopefully we can get this. Before I do that, I was telling Maurice, when the Lord cast those demons into those hogs, and they run down the hill and into that water, you know, hogs, only place the devil can live and have comforts in a human being. They won't even stay in an animal. But there's about two or three of them hogs swim through that lake and come out on the other side and start preaching water for salvation. So if you want to know where that started at, that's where it started. Oh, boy. Couldn't help myself. I just had to say it. I just couldn't help it. I just couldn't help it. All right, verse 13. And behold, two of them that same day, two of the disciples of Christ that were there after the resurrection, the women came and told them, went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 84 furlongs. And they talked together of these things which had happened. And it came to pass, while they communed together and reasoned, the Lord Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trust that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. And yea, and certain women of our also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Here's two disciples, two men. Men no different than us. They were disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ had been resurrected from the dead. They didn't believe it. They left town the day that he was raised from the dead. And they walked 7 miles from Jerusalem over to Emmaus. And they were walking along, and there you can just imagine what's going on in their minds. In fact, Peter, when he came to the tomb and saw that the tomb was empty, the scripture said he wondered in himself what was going on. He wondered in himself what was going on, that which has come to pass. And our Lord's appearance to these two disciples was on the same day that he arose from the dead. It says in verse 13, behold, that same day, the same day Christ rose from the dead. Now here walks these two fellas, walking along. No doubt they were fearful. Can you imagine how fearful they were? And they were sad. Oh, they were so sad. Confused, hurt. Their feelings were hurt. Their expectations, which were once so great, are now seem to be as nothing. They were feeling lost. See, they had based their whole future on this man, Jesus of Nazareth, who just 3 days earlier had died a shameful, disgraceful death on a cross, crucified as a common criminal. And they thought, oh my, this is up. It's all over. It's done. And then they had heard that our Lord had risen from the dead, but they didn't believe it. It said here in verse 9, and they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, the mother of James, other women were with them, told these things unto the apostles, and listen to this. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed not. Idle tales tell about the resurrection of Christ. An empty tomb, and it seemed like an idle tale. And here they are, they're walking 7 miles back to Emmaus. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ began to walk with them. Let's take a walk together with these two disciples and our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's take a 7-mile walk. How long has it been since you walked 7 miles? Let's walk 7 miles together with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says here in verse 14, and they talked together of all these things which would happen. They began to talk about everything that had transpired. From the day, I believe, they began to talk about what happened in the garden, where our Lord Jesus Christ went off into the garden. And there He began to pray as His sweat became as great drops of blood. And that crowd came after Him. And I believe they were there when our Lord Jesus Christ said, you want Me? You got to let these go their way. And I believe they began to talk about, what was happening when they took Him? What was happening when they stripped Him? What was happening when they nailed Him to that cross? What was happening? What was all this about? And what about the miracles that our Lord had done? What about the wonders He had performed and all the things that He had done? And then we watched Him so mistreated. We watched Him so beaten. We watched Him hanging there and so mocked and so scoffed and so derided and so cruelly mistreated and so awfully talked to. And the miracles that attend. The sun got dark. Who ever heard of the sun getting dark in the middle of the day? The rocks began to burst in two. What in the world's going on? These fellows walking and talking together. And then I'll tell you, I know this about them as they're walking along. I know that they were ashamed of themselves. So ashamed of themselves that they never stood up for the Master. That they never stood up and said, I want to be identified with Him. I'm not going to let, I don't want you to treat my Master this way. If you're going to treat Him this way, treat me this way. They no doubt were ashamed, so ashamed of their actions as they walked away and hid their faces as they spat on Him and crucified the Lord of glory. So they began to talk about the things that had happened. Then they talked about His resurrection. They told Him, they said, it's an idle tale. They said, how can this be? How can we possibly believe such a preposterous thing? People that are, we saw Him, Joseph, take Him down from the tomb. We saw Joseph wrap Him up. We saw Mary have borne His body. We saw Him put in the grave. We saw Him put the rock over that grave. We saw that. He was buried. And now they tell us His tomb is empty. What in the world is, how could this be? How could it happen? And they were probably going to quit. They're probably going to quit their profession. Look down verse 21. Look what it said here, this. But we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. We trusted that it would be Him. But it don't look like it is. It looks like it's all over. Look, it's all done. All this time we spent together with Him, all this time, oh my, this, we thought it was Him. And then verse 15 it said, and it came to pass while they communed together and reasoned. What's what happened? Our Lord Himself drew near and went with Him. And let me tell you something. It says they came to pass while they communed together. That's a wonderful thing for the Lord's people to talk among themselves and teach. And what they were doing in their mind and in their heart and in their communing, they were trying to come to terms with what happened and reasoning about the Lord Jesus Christ. And how could this possibly have taken place with all of us when we trusted Him and believed Him so much and put all of our eggs in this basket? And they, in doing this, they were searching for Him, trying to get a reason for this. Trying to get a clearer, a greater knowledge of Him. Trying to figure out what had happened. And that's what it means we live by faith and not by sight. But there's a verse over in Malachi that says this. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened. The Lord hearkened. And He got out a book. Started writing down. They're talking about me, and this is what they said. And that's what was going on here. They were talking about Christ, reasoning about Christ, and what happened? The Lord said, I just believe I'll walk along with them. I believe I'll walk along with them. And oh, beloved, listen, what's they trying to figure out what had happened? And they were searching, and when people search for the Lord Jesus, in their reasoning or whatever, if it's something that God has started in their minds, believe this, beloved, He will come and meet with them and straighten out that mind, and that reason will stop. Now watch what happens now. It said in verse 16, but their eyes were holding that they should not know Him. I'm going to tell you something right here. The Lord Jesus Christ only appeared to His disciples after His resurrection. Never appeared to anybody else. And the only way they could see Him, and as many times as He appeared to them after His resurrection, was when He opened their eyes to see. He was always hid from them until He made them see. You look at it. Every time He appeared to somebody after, only His people. And I'll tell you something else. Right now, the only people He reveals Himself to and appears to is His people today. And you won't see Him and you won't feel His presence unless He is pleased to reveal Himself to you in any given service. Now, that's the truth. Somebody will sit, they'll cold-headed and cold-hearted, and they'll miss it. And somebody over here, and that's, oh, I see him. And, oh, beloved, and that's it here. It said their eyes were holding that they should not know Him. And He turned to them, and He said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk? And this is what He said here. And are sad. Sad. And I tell you, beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ, when His people's sad, and when they're downhearted and discouraged, there's never a time that He won't draw near. He said over in Psalm 17, David said, thou visited me in the night. You come in the night and You visited me. You come in my fear. You come in my confusion. You come in my sadness. You come in my heartache. You come in my fear. You come in my confusion. You come in my doubt. And You visit me in the middle of the night. And You speak to me in such comfort that I can close my eyes and go to sleep. But let me show you something before I get to this. Look over in John chapter 20 with me just a minute. Showing how our Master is revealing Himself to His people. Our Master is so wondrous, so great. Oh, what a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. Look what He said here. This is Mary, you know. And it says in verse 11, Mary stood without at the sepulchre, at the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped down, looked into the grave. And she saw two angels in white, sitting the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of our Lord Jesus had lain. And those angels said unto her, woman, why are you weeping? She said unto them, because they've taken away my Lord. That's something to weep about. When we see preachers take away the glory of the Lord, the glory of Christ, take away the power of Christ, the blood of Christ, the redemption of Christ, all the power of Christ, the grace of Christ, you know, that's a sad day. And I know not where they've laid Him. And when He had thus said, She turned herself back and saw Jesus. Now listen to this. And saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Now watch this. Our Lord said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if you've borne him hence, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away. Listen now. Jesus saith unto her, Mary, Mary, Mary. Oh, sweet, sweet Mary. And she turned herself and, Oh, Master, 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 my Master. When our faith is so weak, when we give in to reason, when we can't see His face, when we don't feel His presence, it's our fault. It's not His, but He's always there. We just don't see Him until He calls us by name. Huh? Mary? And I tell you, let me give you some things that will keep us from seeing Him. There are several things that keeps us from seeing Him, and I hope you're not guilty of these things. But unbelief. Oh, unbelief. What an awful thing unbelief is. Unbelief will keep us from seeing. Carnal reasoning will keep us from seeing. Doubt. Oh, doubt. Doubt if the Lord's with us. Doubt if the Lord's for us. Doubt if we're going to get over this. Doubt if we're going to get through this trial. Doubt. Delay. Delay brings doubt. When we wait and wait and wait and nothing happens, we begin to doubt. And discouragement. Oh, discouragement will keep us from seeing Christ. Oh, discouragement. Do you ever get discouraged? Do you ever get discouraged with life? Get discouraged with yourself? If there's one person I get more discouraged with in this world than myself, I don't know who it'd be. I don't get discouraged with you. I don't get discouraged with Lantana Grace Church. I really don't. They're the finest people God put on the face of the earth. Don't get discouraged with my wife. God gave me the beautifulest woman. Don't get discouraged with her, but boy, I sure get discouraged with me. With my sorriness, my laziness, my coldness, my doubt, my unbelief. Do you get discouraged with yourself? And all beloved in feelings, all feelings have such a sway over us, such power over us. Oh, we go so much by our feelings. If we feel good, you know, we get a day and say, boy, I've had a great day. And then about halfway through the day, something will happen, and the rest of the day is a bad day. And all our feelings, you know. But old Martin Luther said this, for feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God, naught else is worth believing. Though all my heart should feel condemned for want of some sweet token, there's one greater than my heart, whose word cannot be broken. Oh, my. Oh, my feelings. So, I wish I'd just forget my feelings. I just wish I could forget them. Can't do it. One of these days I will. One of these days I will. And sin will keep us from seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. Laziness will see us from seeing Christ. Too busy together with the Lord's people to hear and talk of Him. And sometimes providence will keep us from seeing Christ. God will make the heavens brass, make our eyes dark and dim, make our ears deaf where we can't see or hear or feel or nothing. And He'll do that to us for some time where you have to utterly and absolutely walk by the faith. You have to no feeling, no nothing. Lifeless, dead, cold, the Bible's dead. And our God's providence says that sometimes, and we can't see Christ nowhere. You ever been there? And then trials of faith. Oh, these trials of faith. I'll tell you what most trials of faith do to me. I won't talk about you. When you have a trial of faith, you just think of the trial instead of the God who sends it. You're taken more up with what you're going through than with the God who put you through it. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're taken up more with what we're going through than the one who's sending us through. But what did you say? Oh, He loves me even though I fall. Oh, bless his name. All right, let's go on now. Let's look at the talk between Christ and these disciples. They begin to have a conversation. And you know what? Guess who started the conversation? Our Lord Jesus did. Look what it says here. And he said in verse 17, he said, "What manner of communications that are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad?" What in the world? He starts out the conversation with a question. What are you talking about that's making you so sad? What are you all conversing about that's making you so sad? Why are you so sad? Why you have this long face? Why you have this sadness in your eyes, your sadness in your talk, your sadness in your countenance, this sadness in your body? Why are you talking this sadness? And I'll tell you something. I'll tell you, it's time to be sad when you don't know the Lord with you. It's time to be sad. And he questioned their unbelief, and he questions ours. And oh, beloved, let me tell you something. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he come to these dear saints, and he started out the thing with a question. Oh, my, he starts with a question. And he asked us the question, why are you sad? Why are you sad? Every one of us got grandkids. Some of us got great grandkids. Have you ever had one of your grandkids come up to you and out of the blue and walk up to you and say, "Pop, I'm sad. I'm sad." "What are you sad about?" "I don't know. I'm just sad. Just sad. Just sad." One of them start crying the other day, and the other start crying with it. That's what happens when you get around sad people. You get sad with them. But that's what happened. You know, they come, and our Lord said, "Yo, you see, he knows where we're at. He knows exactly where we're at. Why are you sad? Why are you sad? Why's your heart so heavy?" But how in the world did he reveal himself to them? They began to talk. They began to talk with our Lord Jesus Christ here and walk with him and converse with him. And it says here that he says this. He said, and they began to tell him and ask him what things. And he, one of them said unto him, Cleopas said, "Are you a stranger? Are you a stranger to us? Or what, are you a stranger in this country today? Are you such a stranger in Jerusalem, and you don't know the things that's come to pass there in these days?" That's what they said to Christ. "Are you a stranger? You don't know what in the world's going on? You don't know what's been happening in Jerusalem for the last few days?" And oh, beloved, and he began, they went to sin, and he said, well, what, listen to this now. And he said in verse 9, and he asked him, said, "What things going on? What things?" Now, he's going to make these fellows reveal their heart. What things? What things is going on? You tell me what's going on. And here's, they started out preaching the gospel back to the Lord Jesus himself. And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth. Guess what? He was a prophet. Oh, what a prophet he was. When he spoke, he said he was God. And he said, when you hear me, you hear my Father. And look what else he said. He was mighty in what he did. Everything he did was mighty. Mighty in his deeds. Mighty in his works. Mighty in his words. And all the love is mighty in his words. The common people heard him gladly. And they hung on his words. And he was this way before God. Mighty in deed and word before God. That's where it counts. Before God first and foremost. And then all the people. And then they said, oh, that's what a man he was. What a prophet he was. What great works he did. How wondrous he was. And then they went on and said, but you know what else happened? The chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. They told first who he was. And then they start talking about how he died and how he was crucified and how he was mistreated. How he was delivered up to death. Crucified by the chief priests and the rulers. They began to talk about his death. And then look at what he said. And we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Oh, we know that the Redeemer was coming, that our sins would be put away and our sins would be paid for. God said he had visited his people and Christ the consolation would come. And all beloved in him, but he said, beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Now they go on to that, and then they start talking about the resurrection, who he was, his death, and his resurrection, yea, and certain women also of our company, made us astonished. Made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they didn't find his body, they came saying that they seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And when certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found, listen to this now, and found it even so as the women had said. It's just like they said it was. They went to look in the grave and it's just like he said it was. And then our Lord, look what happens now. You know how he revealed himself? He's going to make him known now. Then he said unto them, O fools, I wish I'd have started then. O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And then he said this. And this is one of the things that people, the Jews, stumble over. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things to enter into his glory? You don't get into glory without suffering. And he said Christ had to suffer to enter into his glory. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. You know, how did he reveal himself to it? By opening the scriptures. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How are you going to call on somebody you never heard about? How are you going to believe in him you never heard anything about? And these fellows, what our Lord Jesus said, he started back in Moses. Said, Moses talked about me. He began to preach. They talked to him about the gospel of Christ. Our Lord said, all the things concerning himself. He preached to them the things concerning himself. Now, wouldn't you have loved to have heard this message? Now, let me tell you something. Every time we open the scriptures and preach Christ from Moses all the way to Malachi, we're doing the same thing. Ain't we, Donald? Ain't we doing that? That's what we're doing. We're opening the scriptures. Concerning Moses, concerning Christ, and all the things of the Scriptures. I don't want to just talk about preaching Christ. This is something that years ago, everybody talked about preaching Christ. Very few people ever did it. But here's what did. That's what our Lord did. That's what Lance did this so gloriously. And they drew nigh unto the village. Our Lord revealed himself. And communing with us, he'll open the Scriptures. And as he opens the scriptures to us, he causes us to desire his presence. Look what happened now in verse 28. And I'll hurry. And they drew nigh unto the village where they went. And our Lord, they got to where they got to their house, and our Lord Jesus Christ was just going to walk on. It'd be like me and you walking down the street, down the road where I live, and I turn in my driveway, and you're just going to go on down the road. Well, that's the way it was here. They got to their house and getting ready to go in. The Lord Jesus just kept on walking. And they constrained him. They said, oh, wait. Please don't go. Please don't leave. Oh, no, don't go. Listen. Stay here with us. Please stay here with us. For it's in the evening. The day is gone. So he went in to tarry with them. Now watch what happened. Oh, wouldn't you like him to stay with you like they did with him, be a guest in your house? But look what he did as a guest in their house. In verse 30. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them. Now watch it now. Now he's the guest. But he sat at the head of that table and took over that house like it belonged to him. Now watch what he said. And it came to pass he took the bread. And he blessed it and brake it and gave to them. They knew immediately who it was. Oh, next time you get sad, this is what the Lord is going to do you. You think about this next time you get sick. You think about this the next time you've got the long face and the discouraged heart. You think about this. And he blessed it and break it. And look what verse 31, and their eyes were open. And they knew him. They knew him. This was him. This is the Lord. Oh, and look what it says now. And he vanished out of their sight. He came and finished and accomplished his purpose and his will for them to comfort their hearts, to strengthen their hearts and comfort their hearts and come in their home and teach them and instruct them and put a smile on their face and joy back in their heart and faith back in their soul. He came and done for them what desperately needed to be done. And watch what it then he's gone. And that's the way it is. Boy, he'll come and he'll bless us. And oh, we'll feel his presence and we'll rejoice so much. And then, you know, he gave us, like old Scott Richardson said, boy, I can get along a long way on a little crumb. But oh, you get Christ to sit at your table and break the bread, and then you sure enough can go on a long way. But oh, listen, and then they said, look what happens now. And look what it says there in verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened us the scriptures? That'll cause your heart to warm up quicker than anything. Oh, because I told Don this morning, I said, and some other folks, this is the truth. I wouldn't lie to you for it. But I'm telling you, I'd rather hear good preaching as eat when I'm hungry. Because I can eat any time, but you can't hear good preaching any time. And some of you are the same way. Some of you come hundreds of miles, thousands of miles, went to great expense to come here for one reason. To have the Scriptures open to your understanding. To have your hearts formed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, beloved, I tell you, when His presence comes, He always, always increases our faith, always warms our heart, always strengthens our hearts, always puts joy back in our heart, always brings that peace back into our hearts. And look what happens now. You think that these fellows said, oh, they said, we'd went in the house and they just went to shouting hallelujah and went to dancing in the Spirit. But that's not what they did. You know what they did? Look how acted after they revealed himself to them. He said here, and this said in verse 33, and they rose up the same hour. Now they just got through walking 7 miles. But you take a 7-mile walk with the Lord Jesus and it won't be long. It won't seem like 7 miles, will it, Todd? And on they went one to another and they said, and they returned to Jerusalem and they found the 11 together and them that were with them. And look what they said now. Oh, they said leaving and they run all the way back 7 more miles. They went back to town. They went back to Jerusalem, found all the disciples together, Peter, James, and John, Matthew, Philip. And look what they said. The Lord risen indeed. He really is. He said, well, how do you know? I saw Him. And He appeared to Simon. And all beloved, and this what look what they've done now. And they began to tell him everything that was done in the way, and now there's no of them breaking bread. They start saying, you know what the Lord did? You know what the Lord did for me? And we were so old. And He opened the Scriptures to us and we was going along. Oh, and He opened the Scriptures to us and we just couldn't wait to get back here and tell you who He is. What He did. How He blessed us. How He strengthened us. How He encouraged us. And oh, beloved, and how He was known of them in breaking bread. And that's what we do, boy. I tell you, when we know Christ, when Christ is made known to us, and you know what the psalmist said? Come ye all that fear God and hear, and I'll tell you what great things the Lord has done for my soul. Oh, I can't begin to tell you the things Christ has done. You see, they didn't compare notes. They compared hearts. There was heart talking to heart. And he was talking about that Gadarean maniac, and I'll tell you this, and I'll quit. Tell you a little about myself. And let me tell you, let me say this. Christ, our Lord Jesus, He cast every care you got on Him. I don't care how little it is. Cast every care on Him. Take yourself as you are in your weakness, your unbelief, your doubt, your fear, your discouragement, your sins. Just take yourself to Him the way you are. Because He knows it anyway. He knows when you're down. He knows when you're discouraged. He knows when you're sad. He knows when you don't know if you're going to make it through the rest of the day or through the night. He knows that. So you just will be honest with Him. So come to Him the way you are. But He's talking about that Gadarene maniac. When I came back from Vietnam, I was a mess. They put me in the Philadelphia Naval Hospital for 5 months. I got out and got married. And less than 6 months, I was back in again. Spent 18 months in hospitals. Didn't hardly know my name. Scared to live, scared to die. Couldn't sleep, couldn't eat. I dread the night coming. When the night came, I dread the morning. But one day when I was in the hospital, a person come and talked to me about Christ. And He gave me some hope, gave me some comfort, gave me some cures. But I suffered that for years and years and years. And then Christ come to me in His sovereign mercy and His gracious gospel and made Himself known to me, revealed Himself to me. And there's never been such a peace. I don't never worry about going back to that again. Don't never worry about that. I worried for years that I'd get like that again. But I know what that Gadarene maniac felt like. And I'll tell you something. Mary Bell stood with me all the way through every day. She'd come see me every weekend while I was in the hospital. 2 babies to raise. And if you think Christ can't save you and keep you saved and put you in your right mind, He saved me and put me in my right mind. And you know what He put in my mind? The mind of Christ. Huh? And when you have these problems and depression and that, take it to the Lord. Be honest with Him. Don't hide from it. Go to Him as He is. Amen? What a gracious Lord. Amen. Thank you.